The scripture reading for this morning is taken from John, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 45. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, in the village of Mary and his sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with her perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. And his disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you're going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them. After saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him. His disciples said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about this, about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but he was still at a place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep, so the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is stench, because he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you would always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This ends the reading.
Thank you, Tom. We are so near Jerusalem and Golgotha and the cross. In fact, the text that Tom just read from John says we're only 2 miles away in this place of death and mourning, near this tomb and those who gather nearby, very troubled in spirit. The family and friends of Lazarus, and eventually Jesus himself. And we are in the church, just 2 weeks away from another tomb, an empty one. And so how fitting and how challenging it is to hear this story on this fifth Sunday in Lent. The story of Lazarus, set firmly within, even entangled with, the controversy and the plots that surround Jesus and that will eventually lead to his execution. There were those who saw in the words and the works of Jesus, even in the healings, a blasphemy that deserved death. And there were already discussions and plots. But Jesus claimed to be doing the works of the Father. So even the worries and the warnings of the disciples could not keep him from going back to Judea and to Jerusalem. Could not keep him from making his way not only to the tomb of Lazarus, but also to his own place of suffering and death and eventually resurrection. But first, there's Jesus' own grief over the death of his friend. In this story, we find much about the human experience of loss. A loss that we've all suffered. Receiving word of a loved one's illness and need. The problems of making decisions. Do we go or don't we go? The complications, the timing. And in this case, even the risks and dangers to be considered. Frustrations, questions, lack of understanding about what's happening, grief and mourning by loved ones, and the community that encircles them and supports them. So much about our human experience of loss is present in this story. Courage, faith, anger, uncertainty, weeping, mixed emotions, mixed motives and responses. Some saw how much Jesus loved his friend, while others, in the face of the physical evidence, cynically questioned his power and the political effects of his healing and raising. And then we have the trust of Mary and Martha. Even in the face of the physical reality of the stench that was coming from the tomb. We don't hear a single word from Lazarus, or know of his response to this extraordinary experience. But we're not surprised by the response of the ordinary people that surrounded the tomb, who witnessed that extraordinary event that day. A whole range of responses and reactions, from faith and following to fear and fretting. And if we read just beyond this passage, we find the report of some of those who witnessed this event going to the religious authorities and speculating on the dangers of having such a powerful man loose in the community and giving hope, and saying it's time to end this man's ministry. The raising of Lazarus is not just a nice little story of friendship or even an amazing miracle. Rather, it is set in the context of the journey to the cross and the empty tomb. The work of raising Lazarus from the dead sets things in motion in the hearts and the minds of those who fear Jesus. And those things led to his execution. There's good reason we hear this story as we rapidly approach Good Friday. We hear the words of Jesus as Lazarus comes out of the tomb. Unbind him and let him go. Metaphors for change and transformation and new life. And we think about, what are the claws that bind us? Fears? Addictions? Feelings of hopelessness? Of loss? Perhaps grief or anxiety? Resentment, financial challenges, greed, hatred, lack of faith. What are the claws that bind us and put us in our own tombs of despair? According to this story, a long time ago, Jesus stood outside the tomb and called out, "Lazarus, come out." And we need to affirm that God is still speaking to us today, calling us out from our tombs of despair, denial, and death to new life right here and right now. So, what might be our tombs of despair? And for our congregation, and in what way are we unbinding and letting go those people who have been put in such places of death? How are we helping them hear and experience the good news of change and transformation? And the other part of this story that I find so powerful is Jesus began to weep. More often than not, we fail to experience the humanity of Jesus. We focus so much in the church on the Son of God that we forget the humanity of Jesus. These words strongly suggest that he knew grief. And the deep spiritual pain that comes from loss, just as we do. And he was moved to compassion and sadness. And one final question for us. How and when have we been like the crowd that witnessed and watched? A crowd which moves around in the background, wanting to see, drawing conclusions, maybe accurately, maybe not, trying to figure out what's going on, maybe helping to release the dead man and going back to our lives, possibly changed and transformed and believing, or possibly cynical and suspicious and critical. Like the people in the crowd, we can respond in a variety of ways to Jesus. How will we? How will you? Amen.